G'day, everyone. Mike here, and welcome to another edition of the Beyond Builders podcast. This is another Leaders in Lockdown podcast, and today I had the amazing pleasure of speaking to my friend Finn Bowd of Bowd Legal. Now, Finn always has some great insight to share about law firms and how they can be doing things better. And we had a chat about that and what firms can do now to really respond to client needs, really respond to the needs of in-house counsel, and really think a bit differently about how they serve their clients now and into the future. Finn has some great thoughts on different ways that firms can approach service and different ways firms can deliver their services and think about different ways to actually resource their services. So we spoke about that, the realities of working from home, and what we see coming down the pipeline for firms at the bigger end of town and how they have been amazingly flexible actually to date and nimble, and how they can keep being flexible and nimble in the future. So on with the show. Finn Bowd, welcome back again to the Beyond Billables podcast.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Lovely to be here.
So where in lockdown are you at the moment, mate?
I'm in the beautiful Dandenong Ranges, about an hour or so just outside of Melbourne, which is where I live.
Yeah. And so what's been happening? I know you've worked a lot from home before and have had offices in the city and so forth. How has the last month affected your work with Bowd Legal and how you're managing everything?
Yeah. Oh, thanks. I think that sort of where you're living, where you're working, all that kind of stuff, that's been really not hard for us because we're fully remote, and we just have a setup that we can use various offices in the capital cities when we need to and have meetings and things like that. And so it was no big deal at all from a pure work perspective to just say, oh, okay, I'm not going into the city, I'm just going to stay home. That's been really fine and not a problem. And in some ways it's probably been quite, it's actually bought me some time and it's bought me some productivity because I'm traveling, I don't have to travel. And a lot of people who often insist, there's certain people who insist on face-to-face kind of meetings, they don't get to do that anymore. They have to accept that it's just going to be, you know, a video conference. And so it's actually bought me some time and a bit of energy that I would normally not have. So that side of things has been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is your partner working from home as well? How are you managing that? Is that usual?
Yeah, well, it is actually. Yeah. I mean, we've had long periods. So he would normally have a couple of days in the city, but we've had up to 3 days with him working at home, working 5 days in general, 3 days with him at home. And so it's not, again, for us, it's not as though it's not a big deal. It's a really big deal. But from a day-to-day perspective, it isn't a big deal for us, for him to be at home and for me to be at home. We are actually set up for that. So, yeah, a lot easier for us than it is for a lot of people.
So how have you found it from a business perspective, and what's your reflections on, you know, what's been changing the last 3 weeks, how fast things have been changing? Obviously, you're practicing as a lawyer in the GFC. You've seen some big changes. But what's your feel for the last month?
Yeah, I think it's certainly different to the GFC, and yeah, I was practicing as a lawyer, but that was, while we had the kind of cuts fairly early from the law firms and the redundancies that happened, and sort of the announcements about things like contracts not being honoured by, well, at least one of the firms that they weren't going to take on the graduates they'd already agreed to and in the following year and that kind of stuff. That all came as quite a shock during the GFC, but there were whole industries that were protected, and I was I am an infrastructure lawyer, and so, you know, we were already pretty busy in that area, and then it just got, there was more and more demand, and the easy thing for me to do is I went to Perth, where I already had quite a big kind of practice, and kind of wrote out the GFC over there, and so I was quite, I was able to be quite insulated, really. I knew it was happening. It mattered. And ultimately it did catch up with us in the form of iron ore prices. So we didn't escape it completely. It kind of hit for me around 2013 or so, I think it was. But, you know, compared to this, there's barely any comparison at all, except that slight comfort of knowing that, well, things have been bad before and we have seen some pretty bad things economically, and you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We should be able to come out the other side.
So you were on the front foot pretty early on, talking about firms and the responses, what they could do from a human resourcing perspective and a team perspective. What's your, you know, how are you seeing firms manage this big crisis, and are they doing things well? Are they doing things not so well? And what's your view on that?
I'm actually really delighted with the way that it's gone so far with the big firms. I heard Karen talking in one of your first ones of these, and she was saying, you know, she was dealing with some firms who were having some pretty strong knee-jerk reactions and laying people off really quickly early on. The big end of town, which I deal with, I've been really pleased, and I'm delighted to see that they're doing things like announcing partner draw cuts and encouraging people to take annual leave or buy annual leave, asking people to move to flexible work. These are all of the recommendations that I made and would make, and I'm so pleased to know that there's obviously a bunch of other voices inside these firms and advising the firms as well as my own that have been enough to have them learn from the experience of the GFC.
Those
things that happened in the GFC, the way that lawyers were treated by the firms with that panic reaction from them and the redundancies was pretty devastating from a big picture relationship perspective between lawyers and law firms.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we've ever recovered from that. The way that they're handling things this time hopefully will go some way to ease some of that really bad history between firms and lawyers. And maybe we might come out the other end with a little bit more loyalty and a little bit more, you know, stronger relationships with each other. And I think that'd be pretty great.
Yeah, I've been really impressed as well about how they've seemed to have brought everyone into the room and working out ways to share the cost in the medium term, and do it in a much more collective fashion, and communicate that, because a lot of firms cut partner draws, they just didn't communicate it, and that was a mistake.
I'm sure that's right.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's right. Or that all that anybody heard was the redundancy announcements.
Yeah.
And there was no announcements about what other action they had taken. And they certainly gave the impression that they hadn't taken any other action, that it was only the staff that were suffering.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're right that
yeah.
there were other things that they did. But their way of handling that from a public relations perspective and an internal relations perspective with their own staff was just terrible.
Well, I think there's a sense that we're all in this together in a lot of ways. It's across society and in business. So it's certainly the appropriate response. I think that professional services is slower in the wave in terms of impact, right? And so it's really important now that other firms who will be impacted over the next couple of months can look at the examples of ones that are doing a good job, like others knocking, you know, people back to 4 days or 3 days or managing partner draws, or, you know, but I've been happy to see that there's an actual positive exchange in it. Like, one of my comments was, okay, we share the pain on the downside, need to share the pain on the upside. And one of the firms was, you know, offering an extra 6 weeks holiday essentially as part of that, you know, okay, upside possibility coming out. And I'm like, that's great. You know, that's actually medium-term thinking about your business. It's not just, we've got to get through this now, but it's like, okay, you commit to us, we'll commit to you, and in a tangible way. And that's, you know, that's a surprise, actually. And it's a positive one.
I agree. It's a surprise. And I will be very happy if they keep surprising and delighting us like this, because it really shows that there's been thought leadership inside the firms, and also that they're listening to people outside of their own structures. You know, yeah. I don't think that you get to this place by being insular, and it has to be because they are looking outside and they are thinking in different ways. And I think it could actually be amazing. I think that I'm doing a lot of thinking at the moment about what opportunities are created for firms and what it looks like if you actually really take all of the opportunities that are kind of coming out of this as a law firm, and how different you will look at the end or on the other side of it compared to your competitors.
Yeah.
And that these kinds of decisions, you know, and talking about, giving people extra leave, you know, things like, even if they looked at doing things like, well, why don't we have people on a reduced salary? But what about if they do extra hours, they actually get paid for those hours, like paying people for the hours that they do, having a base rate and then increasing it because they've actually contributed to productivity.
Yeah.
There's things like that which could really transform the way that work is done in law firms and the way that people are treated in firms and the way that they feel about being law firm lawyers. On the other side of this, that could really be transformative and could really set some firms apart, and that would be something I would be really happy about.
Yeah. And look, obviously, you know, flexible work, working remotely, thinking about how we approach delivery of services, that the genie's out of the bottle now. All of a sudden, there's no...
How good is it?
Well, there's no going back. The interesting bit for me is then what does that look like moving forward, and how do firms not just embrace this as being something that's forced on them, but thinking about then, okay, what does it look like resourcing X project? What does it look like dealing with work? What does it look like providing, you know, different mechanisms to for partners to better service their clients? Because we've actually proven all of a sudden that this big boogeyman of like remote work and flexible work, there is no boogeyman, and we can actually get it done in ridiculously record time. Like, I'm just so shocked that some businesses
they did it in days.
Absolutely remarkable. So then it gives us the opportunity to then rethink how we actually go about delivering service in the future. And obviously, you know, from your perspective, with contract lawyers and with experts who can plug in, there's a space for that. How do you think it changes the medium term? Because at the moment, everyone's kind of putting out fires and that's fine.
That's
but
right.
Where do you think it takes a medium term discussion on resourcing and how we actually do our work?
Yeah. Oh, look, it's one of those things where I suppose you don't want to be too gleeful, and I'm not gleeful at all. I've been very affected by the virus and the consequences and the risks and the impacts on people. It's been very, very affecting for me. Like, I think, of course, it has been for everybody. So you kind of don't want to rub your hands together too much. But there's just no question that, you know, this profession and this industry that has been being dragged kicking and screaming, you know, into the 21st century in terms of technology and remote working and flexible ways of resourcing and what that means for managing matters and what that means for managing clients. Because once your workforce is allowed to be flexible, you then, as you were just alluding to, you then have to work out how you manage matters. And it was going to be years and years and years before any or many of them were really going to be prepared to engage with that as a problem. But then now, because they didn't have to, they could just make people keep coming to work.
Yeah.
But now they have to do it, and they're doing it right now. You cannot have, you know, billion-dollar matters and transactions that you're doing with everybody sitting in their own living room without some form of complex matter and project management. And all of the things, what I think they'll be discovering is what I've always said, which is that actually we do this stuff as lawyers and as big transaction lawyers and big matter litigation lawyers. We do complex matter and project management all the time, every day. You know, we as a normal lawyer coming to work and sitting at your desk and being in the office 16 hours a day, you usually would have two or three major transactions or major matters that you were working on. And then in addition to those, you'd have these other little ones, other bits and pieces that would be coming in. And you had completely, as a senior lawyer, I would have these completely different teams working that I was working with. Some would be, you know, with people internationally, there'd be two sets of international teams, there'd be the client teams, there'd be my teams within my firm. I might be collaborating with another firm because we'd have to put together for a particular skill set or whatever. It would be, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people that as a senior lawyer I would be coordinating with like every day, all day on different matters and transactions in different practice areas. It's always been patently obvious to me that we can take that skill set that we all use or we all do when we're at that level, and that nobody needs to be sitting at their desk. There's nothing important about that desk. You know, unpack the job that we do and then rebuild it so that you actually are creating something really worthwhile and really effective. And, you know, when it is that you do really need to be physically, you know, in person. At the moment, we're all surviving just fine. Law firms are busy.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, there's some areas that are quiet, but because everyone's put their hand on their wallet, you know, just like each one of us is individually not going out and buying a new dress or a new pair of sunglasses, so have all businesses put their hand on their wallet, because it would be imprudent not to just pause anything that you can pause. Of course you're going to do that. So you just pause. It doesn't mean you're not going to spend it. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It doesn't mean it's still not needed. It just means that you're going to press pause. And so the firms, the divisions in the firms that service those clients, like if they were going to be, you know, potentially listing or whatever, they've also had to go on hold. But huge parts of the firm are just going, every firm is just going gangbusters. They're as busier than they were pre kind of COVID.
Yeah.
And so when you look at sort of all of that and you say, okay, you can't tell me that you guys were just sitting at home twiddling your thumbs. We all know, and you know, that you were doing massive multi-billion dollar deals, transactions, litigations, and you did it all remotely. So no one can pretend anymore, no matter how long you've been a partner or how long you've been doing things the same way, no one can pretend anymore that it can't be done this way.
Yeah.
You can't hide from it any longer. And that, I couldn't be happier about that, because it is going to make such a difference to what clients can receive in terms of the quality that they receive and the way that their matters can be managed.
Yeah.
And that's going to be transformative for the client and law firm relationship. And I just think, you know, it's kind of wonderful, that part of it. It really is.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's so many ways it can go. I was speaking to another guest yesterday, and we were just talking about, you know, more flexible ways to embed people within organizations and come in and out. That's not such like this secondment thing that is jumping through lots of hoops and is really admin heavy, but it's much more flexible and also more responsive. So you've got like the personal side about how we personally go about organizing our weeks and our personal practices. And then you've got, you know, all these intangibles about how we better deliver service to our clients. And that should be, it's pretty exciting in the medium term when the fires are put out. And it's hard for business now because you don't know what it looks like in 4, 12, 24 months. All you can do, though, is think, okay, how do I play what's in front of me now? What's the next month to 6 months look like? I still want to be in business. I still have to service my clients. All right, this is what we do. I think it's kind of cool. Like, I think like people talk about legal services as this very staid old thing, and in a lot of ways it has been, for good reason for some of it. But also the nimbleness now is there. It is actually there if you want to lean into it, if you want to be focused on servicing your clients. I think that's very cool. I mean, what do you think about on the in-house side, though, and on the, you know, the general counsels? How are they managing things at the moment? What have you heard about, you know, their capacity and the kind of help that they will need as this thing cascades out?
Yeah. So I think it's a really good question, and I'm not sure how many people are asking it. Or certainly people are, certainly firms are asking it, and it is happening. But I think a lot more can probably be done. And I think there's quite a bit of fear about disrupting, self-disruption, you know. So you're in a major firm and you're looking at your client base and you're thinking, what can I do to help them? And you have some ideas, you know, but those ideas, many of them undermine the traditional business model, your traditional business model. it's moving away, you know, whether it's moving away from hourly rates, whether it's moving away from full-time secondments as a kind of square box thing, whether it's even just moving away from matter-based charging, you know, like whatever these ideas are, a lot of them are kind of, at least on the surface, they conflict with the traditional model.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's, you know, fear about that and sort of, well, if we give them this now, you know, if we implement this now, what will it mean for us later? You know, can we claw it back? Can we go back to the old ways? You know, how will that look? And I suppose what my answer to that is actually no, you kind of can't. So we've got this situation where your clients need help like now, and the in-house counsel and general counsel are absolutely slammed. They are slammed. My husband is a senior in-house lawyer. He is working 16, 17 hours a day at, you know, at his desk, no commuting, you know, not even shaving most days. And, you know, and everyone I speak to is the same. They are absolutely slammed. And honestly, that tells me that the firms have not found a way to help them.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they shouldn't be, that should not be the case. You shouldn't have in-house counsel in that kind of situation still today, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later. They should be starting to get some relief. And I know that some of the firms are doing some things, and it's case by case and partner by partner in terms of what they're offering and what they're giving. And there is kind of, you know, virtual secondments and things like that happening. But it's clearly not enough, because if it was, then I wouldn't be seeing in-house counsel under this kind of pressure kind of across the board, really.
Yeah.
So that tells me the firms are not yet being responsive, and my read on that, I'm not responsive enough, and my read on that is it is about this fear, about this business model disruption fear. And my advice to them is that they need to get over that, because actually their business model has already been disrupted.
Yeah.
And if they don't start getting brave about this and looking at the future and saying, you know what, we're actually not going to be able to go back to exactly what we had before. We just can't. That's not going to be possible. And if they don't start getting honest about that with themselves, what is going to happen is that someone is going to come along and cut their lunch.
Yeah.
And whether it is another major existing firm or whether it is a very ambitious startup which is already well funded and well positioned,
yeah,
they are going to get their lunch cut. And that is not hard to do. I could list five things that you could do right now which would take massive amounts of work away from existing entrenched firms if you were a startup or if you were one of these kind of disruptors. And that's going to happen if they don't keep their clients happy. Yeah. So, and it might happen anyway. They might do everything they can and they still might lose clients, but at least they'll have done everything they can. And they're going to have to then go back to their business model and look at their cost base, you know, as they go through this thing and start to work out how they can preserve what margins they really need of those, how they can preserve them and what they can do. And it's going to have to be on costs. And I don't mean salaries. I mean, you know, other types of costs like floor space and yeah, inefficiencies within technology and teams of people who are underutilized and, you know, yeah, not particularly good at their jobs and that kind of stuff is where they're going to need to claw back money and that part of their business in order to make up for the fact they're going to have to model their actual what they charge in a different way.
Yeah, I think business across the board have to go through that because it's a different business environment. So if you spent, you know, X percentage on this, but you need to spend Y on it now, that's just where it's at. And if it means that you have to carve it out of somewhere, that's just where it's at. And it's probably a even bigger, more fundamental thing than people recognize, because, you know, best case scenario for the next 12 months is social distancing of some regard and, you know, some kind of tiered return to businesses being open, and some businesses potentially not open until there's a vaccine or an amazing wonder drug. So there's going to be continued impact, and then there's going to be continued mental impact from business, because all of a sudden all these risks are real. The black swan event has happened. And on that point, I think lawyers have an amazing role to play in the medium term, because especially in-house lawyers who need to be, you know, valued more frankly, within organizations who will be able to mitigate risk. And business is way more sensitive to those risks now because we've all lived through this. Before it, the business wasn't so sensitive to it, so you could downplay it. But now, you know, whether you're an in-house lawyer or you're advising directly to a board, like there's going to be so much more sensitive to just survival risks and so many more risks in the medium term that actually, you know, lawyers and anyone with a risk and compliance kind of background is going to have a really important seat at the table. Well, that's just my take on it. What do you think about that and how organizationally businesses will have to, you know, approach risk?
Look, I think that's exactly right. And I think that this particular skill set and mindset that lawyers both sort of self-select for, we're already kind of a bunch of pretty risk-averse types to go into law instead of the other kinds of choices that were available to us. And then that's kind of reinforced and fed through the process of law school and then through our training and our learning experiences. That is a particular skill set that very few people have. And there are not to be too kind of denigrating, but there are lots of people who are risk professionals who aren't lawyers. But what they really are kind of spreadsheet managers. It's been my personal experience of sitting in kind of risk meetings. Lawyers have this ability, good lawyers, you know, have this ability to deal with a really incredibly broad range of potential kind of things that might go wrong. And then to work out how to mitigate those. And mitigation doesn't necessarily mean you can stop it from happening. Just what is your plan going to be if you do that? And that, you know, if it happens. And that skill set, that way of thinking is something that has so often, at least in my sort of 20 years, been a blocker. And it's been seen as something that is a pain in the ass. You know, you get the lawyer in the room and they're the one who says, yeah, but have you thought about this? What a pain in the ass. All we're thinking about is dollar signs, how much money this is going to make us, how exciting it's going to be, how happy the minister's going to be, you know, whatever, whatever. And the lawyer says, yeah, but have you thought about these things? And no one ever says thank you. Like in my entire career, no one has ever said, you know what? We wouldn't have thought of that without you, and that would have been really bad if that thing happened. So thank you very much for raising it, and now we can think about how we're going to, you know, plan ahead for it. No one ever says that, never. They're just like, oh, fuck that fucking lawyer. Yeah. What, you know, why do we even have to have it there? Now I'm really hopeful that, you know, this kind of this sort of vision that you've got, that that skill and that ability might actually be valued and might give us more of a seat at the table, not just an obligatory one because, you know, you have to tick a box that says lawyers have been across this issue, but one where people actually say, oh, I think we've got to check. Can we please get the lawyer? Because, you know, they always have really good ideas about this stuff. And, you know, we can see all these problems, but we can't find solutions. Yeah. Wouldn't it be amazing if they actually got us because we are actually problem solvers?
Yeah.
And that, but, you know, what the reputations we've got of kind of problem creators, but actually we're not the problem solvers. And that would be fantastic. And if we can elevate the status and the role of the in-house counsel, that filter to the role of the general service providers as well, because it's my view that because in-house counsel has really kind of come off its pinnacle as an advisor, its sort of advisor status within organizations, and has become a cost center and not much else. You know, because the law is in English, anybody thinks that they can understand it. You know, like no one ever tries to tell accountants that they, you know, need to spend less money on auditing, right? Yeah. Like you kind of, only another accountant can tell an accountant that they're spending too much on external service providers or whatever. But people who know nothing about the law, nothing about the practice of law, nothing about advising, nothing about managing risk, nothing about solving problems, are in charge of in-house counsel budgets. And that to me is just a disaster.
Yeah.
And that's what's got us into this situation where we've had these cost pressures on in-house counsel, and that's flowed through to cost pressures on external counsel. And that's affected the overall quality of lawyering, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, in my kind of experience, I think the quality of lawyering has actually dropped from when I started as a professional. And as a whole, I do not think that we are as good as we were, because we're not allowed to do things properly.
Well, it's an opportunity.
And if that can be turned around, I would just be you know, be one of these other sort of wonderful kind of silver linings that could come out of this for lawyers and ultimately for everybody, because what we do does make a difference. And it you know, we help people with those skills.
Well, it's time as well. It's a good time to prove that worth as well. Like, you know, how are we helping clients and how are you servicing clients in this difficult situation, as hard as it is for your firm managing it as well? And, you know, it's exponentially more difficult if you're an in-house counselor and you're working 16, 17 hours a day and you've got kids running around and you're not engaged. I've spoken to some friends who are, you know, CFOs and other things in C-suites, and I know how much they're struggling because they're not in the office and not together. And so everyone's in that kind of boat. And it's a really good, you know, chance for firms to you know, to really step forward to take some of that burden off the client. And as you said, if they're struggling to work like that because no one's putting up their hand to take the burden off, or they haven't worked it out yet, there's a great opportunity there in the short term to just take it simply. How do we take the burden off? Like, how do we help the client today? Not this is the structure of our plan for 12, 18, 24 months of how we see that we're going to deliver things. You know, what do you need right now that my team can do? Because we've got inbuilt capacity, starting simply, like what's on fire. Absolutely. and then Absolutely. Moving from there.
And how can we, exactly, that's exactly right. And how can we help you? And, you know, it's a lot of the stuff we're talking about is lawyer to lawyer. So it's kind of in-house counsel to external counsel. And so to ring fence your offer as an external counsel and to say, look, I don't know what the world's going to look like for legal services or, you know, our offering to you in 6 months or 12 months or 18 months. And if we can just agree that this is not sort of about precedent, this is about what can we do for you now? How can we help you? What have we got that we can make of use? Can we just kind of agree that this is about the now moment and we'll deal later altogether with what the future holds? I mean, if people are so scared that they're going to have their sort of feet held to the fire later on because they gave away some stuff for free today or whatever, then they can have that conversation. They're dealing with grown-ups and I think that everyone will be fine.
Yeah.
But I also think you don't have to have that conversation. You can just do it.
Yeah.
Just, God for sake, just get on the phone, like, and talk to them not just once, but call them every couple of days and hear what they've said. Go away and think about it and think about what you can offer. And that may not even be anything to do with you and your group. It may be connections. It may be introductions. It may be suggestions like, oh, we looked at this, you know, IT system or whatever, you know, and we ended up not using it, but the problem you're talking about, it might be useful to you. Why don't I get the guy who ran that project for us to come and to talk to you, you know, obviously by being on the phone, about, you know, what we looked at, like just knowledge share and problem solve and be part of their team in helping them to work out how they can get through it. Because it just seems to me that, you know, they're under so much stress and they've got, exactly as you've said, it's not just the fact that they've got their normal day job plus their COVID-19 job, you know, advisory role. They're dealing with all of that. They're often going to be lawyers that, you know, usually the ones who keep the calmest. We might not feel very calm, but compared to everyone else, we normally are pretty good under pressure. And so the lawyers in-house will be holding their shit together and holding everybody else's shit together who will not be coping as well emotionally on average with the whole situation. They always that role in-house, but it would just be so much worse. And so they've got the workload, they've got the emotional load, and then they've got the stuff at home, and they've got, you know, family members that they're terrified for.
Yeah.
They've got the children's situation, they've got a partner who's working as well. You know, I mean, like all of those, every one of those pieces, you know, these are just kind of humans that we can help.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do, is we just need to step in and say, what can we do? And often people can't solve their own problems. So just asking, what can I do? Can I help you? And they say, oh, no, I'll just get through it. That's what they're going to say.
Yes.
So just spend some time listening and asking questions and go through the back door. Like, don't expect the GC to be the person who's going to tell you what's needed.
Yeah.
Go to the next person down, then the next person down, then the next person down, and have conversations with everyone, and then piece together the story that you're hearing, and then talk about it with your team and think about it with each other and go outside the partnership, talk to your smart, clever seniors that you've got and your juniors, and together think about what you can do. And that kind of, you know, problem-solving skill that we have as lawyers, turning it on to our clients in that way that's not about what can I sell you, but it's about how can I help you, is actually kind of transformative.
Yeah.
And you can't be sure that it's going to result in, you know, a kind of a lifetime of loyalty and an endless stream of uncontested bills. But what you can be sure is that it's going to be meaningful in that moment, and you're going to give them something that matters that you have, and you're going to learn something from that, and maybe it will mean that that relationship is deeper in the future, and maybe that will have commercial benefits. But it, you know, you have to move past that to the kind of much more human acts of service that we have the ability to do with lawyers, and that we can give right now. You know, whatever we can give, just give it. Stop worrying about what it means to the bottom line down the track.
Well, it's classically being the trusted advisor, right? It's not the trusted, you know, anything else. It's a trusted advisor. It's it, and that's and right. So that's what it is. And however that plays out, so that's you know, a lot of food for thought there. But Finn, on
I've
the
been giving this a lot of thought.
No, I know. And we have these deep and meaningful conversations quite often. But on the personal side, you know, how are you finding managing the juggle yourself? And what are some tips?
Yeah.
Because we've had a lot of deep conversations about what's going on in the world and everything like that. How are you managing that external and your own internal at the moment?
Yeah, I think the external and internal bit is probably the bit that's hardest for me out of all of the various challenges. So other people have a much worse, a much more difficult situation, like we were talking about at the beginning, where I'm like, well, I always work from home. You know, that's my base anyway. You know, my husband often has had long periods or big parts of his work week where he's worked from home. That's part of his normal base. We have somebody come in and help us with our kids, and that was already part of our setup. So we can continue to work with that continued assistance. And so that all of that practical stuff has not been anywhere near the kind of challenge that it has been for other people. But I think for me, it has been much more about that internal experience. And I think we're all going through it. We're just doing it in our own ways. But it has been really hard. I've had, you know, I certainly have like a week where I think I basically did no work. All I did was just read every article that every newspaper was putting out and every kind of, you know, and that's all I did for the whole week. I was sitting at my desk supposedly working, but I didn't do any work. And, it was work, because it's about understanding what's happening, how people are feeling, what the predictions are, how varied those predictions are, what that shared experience, that shared human experience is. And that is still incredibly valuable. I might not have any particular output to show for that time, but I...
No, but as a lawyer, right, and we're people who like to get all the information in, process it, and then make decisions based on the information, not just based on what things are being said today.
That feel and exactly. No,
but what's actually out there, and there's a torrent of stuff that's out there, but actually it's like, you know, having spent that time, it actually... And it's not in a reactionary way. I mean, it feels reactionary a bit at the time, but if you're actually looking for the gold that's there, I've been following like epidemiologists like you wouldn't believe on Twitter, right? And seeing how other people
who knew you could become a specialist
exactly
infectious diseases overnight, but apparently we can.
But it's that has actually helped me feel a hell of a lot better, and actually. You know, and I think as lawyers and people who like to get their head around things, it's really important that you get your head around something in whatever direction you know, and then go from there.
I think that's a really good point, actually. I think that is, and that is what happened with me. So I got to the point where I was like, okay, all right, I've read everything. Okay, I get it. Yep. All right. I feel like I've, you know, got a handle on this thing. Yep. I'm a little mini expert now, and, you know, on infectious diseases. I didn't know that was a skill that I needed. I hadn't built that up. I felt a bit, you know, a bit irresponsible, because it was sort of one hat that I didn't wear. You know, I can usually know a little bit about everything. You know, we're all kind of, because we are kind of information gatherers, I think we're all kind of jacks of all trade in terms of knowing a little bit about almost every specialty, but this was just so kind of obscure, and I felt really like, I'm not prepared for this. I don't have any base knowledge. I've got to start from scratch. And then getting to the point of kind of working through all that and coming out the other side and going, okay. And I'm at that point now where I just kind of vaguely generally keep an eye on what's going on, but I feel like I've got a handle on it.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to now move forward and start thinking more, you know, deeply about what is coming next and what I should be doing and what I'm recommending to others and what I think people can do to kind of take advantage of the opportunities that are coming out of this, because it is such massive change.
Yeah.
That, you know, change often comes about for bad reasons. You know, the GFC was for a bad reason, you know, recessions, wars, depression, they're all for bad reasons. You know, like, we kind of have to accept that that's kind of how change comes to us.
Yeah.
And then it's about saying, right, well, that's happened, not my fault. It wasn't anything to do with me. So what can I do now? What should I do? What can I do? And then that act of planning, I assume most lawyers are the same as me, that act of planning and going, okay, well, here's the best case scenario, and now I'm going to come up with a plan for that. Here's the worst case scenario, and I'm going to invest to come up with a plan for that, or at least have some idea of what that looks like for me and the business and my family and all that kind of stuff. And then here's kind of a middle moderate case. And once I felt like I had a handle on those kind of three things, then I started to feel like I could move on emotionally and move on intellectually to sort of, you know, implement or at least make some changes.
Yeah.
What he needs, and everyone has their own level of what they need to feel in control. That'd be the main piece of advice, I suppose, is that give yourself permission to keep going until you do feel in control.
And yeah.
Whether that's being obsessive like me and reading for, you know, like way into the middle of the night, everything I could find, or whether it's stopping reading and just going into the garden and doing whatever it is that you need to make you feel in control and ready to move forward, that's what you should give yourself permission to do. And forget the shoulds and shouldn'ts and musts and mustn'ts. Just work out what that thing is. Keep going till you get to that point. Give yourself permission and then start to move into the problem solving phase or the action doing phase.
100%. Yeah. All these imperatives, right? Like, the more we stop talking in that language and like regain some choice over what we're doing, and recognize that that's the internal bit versus the external as well. So that's great advice. So I guess looking forward, what are you looking forward most to, in, let's not talk long term because it's hard to see, but in the next couple of months, as we kind of approach some kind of new normal, and work our way through this?
Yeah. I am kind of excited about being part of this change for us, for our profession, and that the things that I've been saying, you know, for a couple of years now about where we should be going as a profession, how we should be thinking about ourselves and how we should think about what we do and what we offer and the way that we do it and the stuff that really matters and the stuff that really doesn't matter in terms of how we do our job. You know, it doesn't matter where we are when we do it. It just matters that we do it well. And that there is, you know, there's going to be this kind of group of people, and whether it's a big group or a small group or a medium one, whether it's everyone, I don't know, but there's going to be the people who are ready to hear those messages. And being part of that is something that I'm really, really am looking forward to. I want to give people who are ready to hear it, some help thinking about the way forward.
Yeah.
And to not feel like they're the first, if, you know, them thinking about these problems are the first time anyone's ever thought about it. They're not, you know, like the new law kind of model has been thinking about a lot of these problems and doing things to solve them for a while.
Yeah.
But it's very different to set up a new law organization from scratch, you know, bootstrapped or whatever, than it is to take one of these kind of titans and restructure them or reformat them or make them think about themselves in a different way, make them reevaluate their values, make them reevaluate their financial model, their physical way of working, their sense of self, their sense of identity. You know, that's a very different thing to just starting up a new law firm and going, oh, we're going to do everything differently.
Yeah.
And that is something that I've spent a lot of time thinking about and talking to people about what it is like to transform these big organizations, these big firms, these partnerships, which are made up of individual partners who are all in charge and no one's in charge, and what that means when you need to transform these companies, these firms. And I just want to be a part of that. I just want to help the ones who are ready to listen, to think their way through it. And it's me being useful, you know, yes. Like my thing about, we all just want to be useful. And that's something that I've got that I can give people. And I just want to be useful. I just want to do this thing that, you know, that I enjoy and that I'm good at, and yeah. feel that it's something meaningful. And that's all any of us want. And so, you know, here's my chance, I think. And I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome. I agree with you. I think you can help firms a hell of a lot. And, you know, we can look forward to new ways of doing things, and the nimble and flexible big firms can be that too. You know, they really can.
They've proven it. You absolutely. Know, like they didn't yeah. believe it themselves, right?
Yeah.
They've proven it to themselves, yeah. you know, by, you know, literally within days turning from these physical bricks and mortar, you know, companies who, you know, yes, let everybody work from home, you know, when they're sick or waiting for a plumber or whatever, to their entire, you know, almost every single person in the company, in the firm, working from home and working remotely. And they've proven that they can do it. They've proven they can change.
Yeah.
And so that is going to be transformative to the way they think about themselves. And there will be people in those organizations who are desperately determined that when this is all over, it will just go back to how it was, and that everything will just go back to normal for them. Like, there's definitely going to be, you know, these hardcore people who are going to be feeling very strongly that way and who are going to be advocating for that. But I think this time there's going to be enough of people in the other camp, enough partners and enough kind of leaders who will be pushing, at least in some of the more innovative firms. And I do mean the existing big firms, yeah. but the ones who've got a bit of, you know, enough people in there who are willing to be a bit innovative
yeah.
to push them through. And, you know, they didn't know they could do it themselves. Even yeah. those people who were previously advocating from the inside, they didn't know for sure that it would work. They didn't know for sure that it would kind of, clients would get what they needed, and that, you know, lawyers would do the right thing and would kind of continue to be productive. They didn't know for sure. They just hoped, you know, they had faith.
Yeah.
And now they know for sure. And that's kind of, it's pretty great, really. It's yeah. great. You know, there's a lot of us who've been pushing for these kind of changes for a long time. And, you know, if this was kind of December last year and you'd said, how long do you think it'll be before the profession, you know, that is here today turns into the profession that you kind of dream for it, I'd be saying, well, look, it's 5 years at best, and it's probably more like 10. And, you know, maybe it's really even 15 before, you know, what I really want for them, you know, yeah. comes true. And now I think, oh my God, it's just there. It's just within reach. It can just be done. It can just be created. And yeah. that's fantastic.
Yeah. Finn Bowd, thank you again for being on the Beyond Billables podcast.
My pleasure. My absolute pleasure. Thanks, Mike.